Please get your Bibles and turn them to Psalm 46, a very familiar psalm to many of us, out of which the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, is taken. Let's read God's Word. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Thus far the reading of God's holy word, and may God himself add his divine benediction to it. In light of what happened to our pastor yesterday, I decided to change my message. Instead of preaching to you from Ezekiel chapter 37 on the subject of evangelism, I would like to preach to you from Psalm 46 on the subject of God's comfort in trouble. This psalm, Psalm 46, can be divided into three sections, and these three sections will become our three main points in this message. The first section is God's characteristics, verses 1 through 3. God's characteristics. The second section is God's comfort, verses 4 through 7. And the last section is God's command, verses 8 through 10. And the last verse, which is verse 11, is really God's conclusion. God's conclusion. So let's look at these sections or points one by one. So first of all, God's characteristics. And here we will see three peculiar or important characteristics of our God. That is that our God is our protection, power, and provision. So look at verse 1, please. It says here, God is our refuge. That is, he is our protection. The idea comes from the experience of a refugee. Boys and girls, when you say a refugee, it refers to a person who has escaped from his enemies and has fled to a foreign country for protection. Think of the situation in Syria. Because of the ongoing persecution brought by the ISIS, as of this year, there are more than 3 million Syrian refugees just in Turkey. As you may know, Turkey has the largest refugee population in the world. So for many refugees, Turkey has become a place of refuge. That's their refuge, a place where they find peace and protection, safety and security. Now, you may not realize this. If you are a believer in Christ, you are also a refugee. And God is your refuge. Now, in this world, we face a lot of enemies. And our three major enemies are, first of all, Satan, who is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan's agenda is nothing but to destroy God's kingdom. He will try everything that he could to destroy Walker United Reformed Church. He is our enemy. But the world is also our enemy. And in that context, when you say the world, it's the persecutors, the ISIS, those who follow Satan's command, those who also want to destroy the work of God. But let us not forget that we have one enemy that is very close to us, and that is our flesh, our indwelling sin. That sin that besets us. That sin that tells us to disobey God. That flesh, that indwelling sin that tells us not to serve God, not to worship God, not to trust God, to abandon God, to forsake God. And so the question is this: as a refuge, where do you go for protection when the world attacks you? To whom do you flee for safety when your flesh, when your indwelling sin strikes you? Who is your refuge against Satan? Well, we have the answer here in our text. The psalmist says, God is our refuge. In God, we have safety and serenity. There is peace in God. You know, the Bible gives us four pictures to help us understand the concept of God as our refuge. For instance, we have the word rock. David says in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3, "The Lord is my rock in whom I take refuge." Another word is shield. David proclaims in Psalm 144, verse 2, "The Lord is my shield in whom I take refuge." The word shelter also helps us capture that concept of God as our refuge. God is our shelter in the time of the storm of trial. Another word is wings. Boaz says to Ruth, "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Now, how can we apply this to us? Well, right now, we have been devastated. We have been attacked by our enemy. Where do we go? To whom shall we flee for protection and peace? We are refugees. Satan has troubled us. Well, Praise be to God, we have a refuge. God Himself is our refuge. He is our rock. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. He is our shield. Don't we sing our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days? He is our shelter in the time of storm like this. The Lord is our rock. In Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. And under God's wings, we are also protected and secured. Under His wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are over. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. A few years ago, actually just a few months ago, I met a refugee from Syria at the gym where I go for my regular exercise. He now lives in the U.S. And for him, this country is the safest place to live. This country is the better place to live. Well, let me tell you this. There is no better, safer place than in God Himself. If we are in God, we are safe. No wonder why the psalmist can say in Psalm 2 verse 12, "Blessed are all who take refuge in the Lord." And in Hebrew, the word blessed here can also be translated as happy. And this is the highest form of happiness. In other words, outside God, outside this refuge, this divine refuge, there is no true happiness, there is no true peace, there is no true safety. You go outside God, you will face dangers. You have no protection against Satan. But in God, there is peace. And this kind of happiness that you can experience in God is the kind of happiness that does not depend on our circumstances. Yes, even if we are in the midst of suffering, sickness, pain, distress, and even death, we can still rejoice in the Lord always, as Paul says. Now, why so? Well, because of God, who is the source of our joy. And that joy is what will give us strength. As the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Needless to say, we are all weak right now. We need strength. Where do you draw that strength? Well, from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so you see, in God we are protected, preserved. Thus you can be peaceful even in the midst of the storm of trial. In fact, in verses 2 and 3, the psalmist goes on to say, "Therefore, in light of the fact that God is our refuge, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea." Verse 3, "Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." Here we have an extreme, very extreme indeed, example of a natural disaster. Powerful earthquakes, landslides. And yet the psalmist says, no matter what happens, even if our entire life is turned upside down, we will not be afraid. Or positively, we will still be at peace. Why? Because God is our refuge. I have a friend. He is also a minister of the gospel. He lives in Nepal. When Nepal was hit by an earthquake, he said this: "The earthquake did shake us, but we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken." Yes, Satan has attacked us as a congregation, and we remain still under Satan's assault. But let us not forget that we have such a God who cannot be shaken. He is our refuge. He is our refuge. And so I comfort you with these words. Take God as your refuge. In Him, you can find peace. But He is also our protection. Oh, sorry, our power. Not just our protection, but our power as well. Notice what the psalmist says in the second part of verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. Now, think of the condition of the Syrian refugees in Turkey. They left their homeland, their houses, their jobs, and now they are living in a foreign, strange country. New culture, new environment, and perhaps some of their loved ones were killed by the ISIS. So you could imagine the pain that they have in a strange land. Someone said, apart from physical wounds or starvation, a large percentage of refugees develop symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder or depression. These long-term mental problems can severely impede the functionality of the person in everyday situations. It makes matters even worse for displaced persons who are confronted with a new environment and challenging situations. So these refugees are exhausted mentally from thinking of what to do next. They are also tired physically from hiding from their enemies. They are suffering from emotional fatigue, perhaps because of many sleepless nights. They are also drained of strength spiritually. These refugees need strength. Where do you find that strength? Well, we have the answer in our text: in God, because He is our strength. Now, I understand many of us, if not all of us, still feel heartbroken because of the tragic death of our dear pastor. Maybe still you are mentally and emotionally and physically and spiritually weak. You don't know what to do. Well, take this comfort. You have such a God who is your strength. God will empower you so that you can face this trial. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, as one hymn writer says. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. God is our protection. He is our power, but He is also our provision. Look at verse 1 again, the last part. A very present help in trouble. Now think again of the refugees in Turkey. Now they need to start a new life. They need to build a house. They need to find a job. And they have to do this from scratch. Perhaps some of them, if not many of them, are about to give up. This is too much. This is too much to do. And the big question is, how can I move on? How can I move on? And maybe as a congregation, we have the same question. How can we move on from this tragic event? Will we be able to ever move on? Corey's wife is probably asking the same question. How can I move on? Oh, God says in His word, not my word, His own word, I am your very present help in trouble. Yes, I rescued you from Satan. Now you are in my refuge. Yes, and I understand you are weak, but I am your strength. I'm going to strengthen you. And you say, how can I move on from this? How can I face another trial in this life? And God is saying to us, don't worry. I am your helper. I will help you. You know what's beautiful about this verse? The psalmist says, a very present help in trouble. Literally, it means you can find God's help anytime. He is always present with us. And this is God's unchanging promise to all His children. One commentator notes, God is more present than friend or relative can be. Yes, more nearly present than even the trouble itself. Now, how close is the trouble to you? Remember that God is closer, even closer than the trouble. He is very present. You know what it means? It means, and we may not recognize this, that even at this very moment, we are being sustained by God. We are being helped by God. Because He is our very present help. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper. He, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Oh, what a God we serve. He is our protection, our power, and our provision. Now let's move to my second point, which is God's comfort. And really, the comfort here is His presence. Verses 4 through 7. Look at verse 4, please. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Now, in this context, the river refers to Jesus Christ, and the city of God refers to His church. And so you can read it this way. There is a river, that is, Christ is there. And what is Christ doing to the city of God, to His church? He is making them glad. So it is Christ who makes the church glad. Now, right now, what we have is sorrow and sadness, and rightly so. We lost our pastor, who will not be sad. Our congregation is filled with sadness. But remember this. We have the Lord Jesus Christ who will gladden our sorrowful and sad hearts. He is in our midst. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Now, in the Near Eastern culture, usually an enemy attacks as soon as the sun rises. That is when morning dawns. But even so, even when our enemy strikes us, God says, I am in your midst. I don't know if you realize this. It may appear that God is not with us right now. Yes, we have many questions. Me too. I have many questions too. Where is God? Where was God yesterday afternoon when our pastor did that? Where was God? Is God with us as a congregation? Is He with His church? Is He in our midst? And we know the answer, of course. God is in the midst of her. And what is He doing there? He is helping His church. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And so fear not, God says, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then look at verse 6. The nations rage. They rage against God. The kingdoms totter. They fall. He, referring to God, He utters His voice. And what happens? The earth melts. All the kingdoms that attempt to destroy God's work, they all fall just with one word. Martin Luther puts it so well in his hymn, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure. For lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him, shall fell Satan. Dear congregation, this is the time that we really need God's word. We all need comfort. That comfort comes from the Word of God. Just one word is so powerful. That one word can destroy Satan. That one word can defeat that sin in your life. Use the Word of God. Let us use the Word of God. And let us not forget that God is always with us. He is in our midst. And His presence brings joy to us, should bring joy to us, even in the midst of our great trial in this life. Now let's look at my last point, God's command. God's command. In verses 8 and 9, there is an invitation here to witness the destruction of our enemies, of Satan and all his followers. Look at verses 8 and 9. Come, says the psalmist. Come. It's an invitation. Come. Behold, or look, see. Behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Then in verse 10 comes this command. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, there are two possible interpretations of verse 10. That statement, be still and know that I am God. It could refer to the nations in verse 6. And in that sense, the meaning of verse 10 is like this: stop fighting and know that I am God. So he is talking, God is talking to the nations as they are trying to fight against each other and also against God. Stop fighting. You cannot fight me. You are no match to me. Stop fighting. Know that I am God. But on the other hand, verse 10 could also mean, be at peace in the knowledge that I am God. And in this context, God is addressing his people in verse 7. And I tend to take this interpretation. I think verse 10 is addressed to God's people. Be still. That is, be at peace in the knowledge that I am your God. Do not worry, do not panic. Instead, sit still and know that I am the God who is in control of everything. I think I can help you understand this with this illustration. Boys and girls, when you fly, let's say you're on the plane, and your plane gets hit by a turbulence, your normal reaction is to worry, to panic. That's normal. You are scared, you are worried that the plane might crash. And then the pilot, all of a sudden, will make this announcement. Okay, fasten your seat belt and sit still. Be still. Everything is in control. I am the pilot. We will reach our destination. Well, in a sense, our church has been hit by a powerful turbulence. We're shaken. Many of us are still in disbelief, shock. We are worried. If this could happen to my pastor, my spiritual leader, maybe this can happen to me too. We have many questions, concerns. We have anxiety and maybe even anger and doubt. And yet here God is saying to us, be still. That is to say, calm down. Don't panic. Let it drop or let go of your worries and fears. Cast them all upon me. You don't need to worry. You don't need to carry your burdens. They will not help you. Give them all to me. That's precisely what God is saying here to his people. I am in your midst. Be still. And of course, I understand. I will be the first one to admit, it is difficult to sit still when you are confronted by this kind of challenge in life. How can you sleep well? How can you be at peace? Almost like impossible. And yet there is a command. That's why it is a command. It's not an option. Right now, God is commanding us as a congregation. God is saying to us from His Word, I understand all the things that you're going through right now, but be still and know that I am your God. We want to know why this happened, this tragic death happened. I want to know too. I wish I could ask our pastor. A few seconds prior to that incident, I would like to know. But listen to this. As someone said, God's people live by promises, not by explanations. We live by God's promises, not by explanations. We want explanations, don't we? But God may not grant you those explanations. What is clear is this. What God wants us to do right now is this. Be still and trust the Lord, even if we don't get it, even if we don't understand it. This is when we simply need to say, Lord, I don't get it, oh God. But Lord, help me. Help me, oh God, to trust you. Let me end with this poem written by A.M. Overton. The poem is entitled, He Maketh No Mistake. It was written in 1932 by a pastor in Mississippi named A.M. Overton, who had a wife and three small children. His wife was pregnant with their fourth child, but when it came time for delivery, there were complications and both she and the baby died. During the funeral service, the preacher officiating the service noticed the father writing something on a piece of paper. After the service, the minister asked him about it, and he handed him the paper with a poem he had just written, which he titled, He Maketh No Mistake. Let me quote one of the verses of that poem. There is so much now I cannot see. My eye sights far too dim. But come what may, I will simply trust and leave it all to Him. I will simply trust and leave it all to Him. In other words, Lord, I don't understand it. I'm going to leave it to you. It's not for me to know why. I will leave it to you. I will simply trust you. Because you are my refuge, my strength, a very present help in trouble. And therefore, in light of that, I need to obey you. I need to obey this command. Be still and know that I am God. Oh, let us not forget the God we serve. Let us pray. Oh Lord, our God, we thank you so much for the comfort of your word. We thank you for revealing yourself to us. We thank you that indeed you are our refuge, that in you we have peace that passes all understanding. In you we have protection. There is strength in you, for you are our strength. And we thank you that you are our very, very present help in trouble. Oh Lord, please sustain us as a congregation. Have mercy on us. And even if it is difficult to do, help us to be still and know that you are our God, the God who never makes mistakes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.